back, fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
All right, good practice, everybody. See you tomorrow. And Max, you gotta stop trying to score goals all the time. Remember, you're playing defense.
Okay, coach.
Hey, Max. How's it going? I still can't believe you made the varsity soccer team as a freshman. I mean, I can believe it because you're good at soccer. But still, that's awesome.
Yeah. Super awesome.
What's up?
Coach is making me play defense, even though I was the top scorer at our old school. He says playing defense builds character, whatever that means.
I think he means learning how to play defense will make you a better player overall.
Uh-huh.
Look at it this way. If you master defending yourself, you'll know how to beat the opponent's defense and score more goals.
But I want to score goals now, if there even are any goals to score anymore.
What does that mean? I mean, I know soccer doesn't have a ton of scoring, but last I checked, there were still goals.
Coach runs this crazy offense he calls the Siege.
The Siege? What's that?
Well, a siege is when an army surrounds an enemy city or town and cuts off supplies until the enemy surrenders. The soccer version is when you control the ball in your opponent's half of the field for as long as possible and steadily attack until their defense cracks.
What's wrong with that? Sounds like a cool strategy.
It's so boring. Since I'm playing defense, my job is to pass it to the winger for a cross or sprint back to chase down the ball while the opponent clears it.
You know, you could score a header off a corner kick. Coach C likes to bring the defense up for set plays. You just have to make sure you get back on D if the other team gets possession.
Oh, hey Charlene.
Hey Molly, are you finding your way around the school okay, thanks to my help?
Yeah, but I don't think I needed your help.
Charlene! How do you know how Coach likes to do corner kicks?
See my uniform? I'm trained to be a sideline referee. Look how well I work the substitution board. It must be broken.
Or you need more training.
Anyway, I watched Coach C implement the Siege last year, so I know how he thinks. My advice, Max, work on your headers. See ya!
There's something strange about her.
I don't know. She seems pretty helpful.
If you like a know-it-all, or a wannabe know-it-all, refereeing, spying on the coach.
Relax, Molly. Nobody said anything about spying.
I'm just saying, it's very pog-like. She's still on my mole watch.
Okay, but maybe she's right about the headers. The only problem is, if I dash into the box for every corner, and then I have to run back home to defense, I'm going to be exhausted from all that running.
Good point. I wonder how many miles you've run today.
Let me stop you right there. Before we go on another math journey, I found a shortcut. I wore a pedometer during practice today. I've run 5,200 steps. No wonder I'm out of breath.
But how many steps you've run doesn't tell you how many miles you've run. Unless we do the math.
Oh boy. Here we go.
As a general guide, sprinting for 1,000 steps equals about 0.7 miles. But you've run 5.2 times more than 1,000 steps, since you run 5,200 steps. So to find out how many miles you've run, we'd multiply 5.2 times 0.7.
Sounds easy enough, but decimals can be tricky. Can we get rid of them?
Sure. Well, one of them, if we convert the numbers into fractions.
Oh, great.
5.2 written as a fraction is 5.2 over 1, and 0.7 written as a fraction is 7 over 10. So our new equation would read 5.2 over 1 times 7 over 10 equals the number of miles you've run. When you multiply fractions, you multiply the numbers on top, aka the numerators, and the numbers on bottom, the denominators, then simplify the fraction if possible.
Okay, so the numerators...
Numerators...
Isn't that what I said?
Go on.
The numerators in the equation are 5.2 and 7. And when we break it down, we get 5 times 7, which equals 35 plus...
0.2 times 7, which equals 1.4.
35 plus 1.4 equals 36.4? Whoa! I ran 36 miles today?
You missed a couple steps.
Out of my 5,200?
After we multiply the numerators, we have to multiply the denominators.
Oh, right. I forgot the numbers on the bottom of the fraction. 1 and 10. Multiplied together, that equals 10. Then what?
We're left with the fraction 36.4 over 10. To reduce it, we divide 36.4 by 10.
3.64 miles. Not as impressive, but still a lot.
It sure is. Also impressive is knowing the dividing powers of 10. Remember, whether it's 10, 100, 1,000, or even 10,000, you simply move the decimal one place to the left for every zero in the power of 10.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. If we divided 36.4 by 100, I would move the decimal two places to the left to get 0.364.
Exactly! And when you multiply by powers of 10, you move the decimal to the right for every zero.
Okay, so if we multiplied 36.4 by 100, we would move the decimal two places to the right to get 3,640.
Perfection.
Maybe it's just 'cause I'm tired, but that's a pretty neat math trick.
Why, thank you.
What's that sound?
It's coming from over here.
Found it. It's the substitution board.
You mean the one our new best friend Charlene was messing with? See? I told you she was up to something.
Not so fast. Look, there's a message written on it. Colossal problem with the Colossus of Rhodes, in which the Pogs have got a foothold. Investigate now. Murgatroyd. Wait! Is Charlene a problem solver?
What? Why would you think that?
She was messing with the substitution board. Then we suddenly get a message from Aunt Em. She could have been programming it.
A likely story. She's still on Mole Watch. What's more likely is that the Pogs hid another secret communication in the Colossus of Rhodes, like they did in the Great Pyramid of Giza. But what is the Colossus of Rhodes?
Well, a colossus is a huge statue, and the Colossus of Rhodes is a huge statue of Helios, the ancient Greek sun god. It was erected on the Greek island of Rhodes around 280 BCE in celebration of the Rhodians' defeat of Demetrius during the Siege of Rhodes.
A siege on the soccer field and now the Siege of Rhodes? Think it's a coincidence?
When it comes to Aunt Murgatroyd, nothing is a coincidence. To the Colossus!
Heave! Heave!
Max, is that the Colossus?
No, that's a Heliopolis, a Greek siege tower.
You transported us into the middle of a battle? I thought the Colossus was built after the siege.
It was! And I entered Rhodes 280 BCE. That's the right date. The siege should be over. Watch out, flying boulder!
Let's get out of here. There's cover down the beach. Oh man, a siege is not fun.
See? Told ya.
I'm not talking about on the soccer field. What are we gonna do?
I'll re-enter Rhodes 280 BCE and we'll try again.
No, wait.
What?
What if the time radio has been hacked?
Hacked? How?
Charlene, I bet the substitution board was just a ruse.
How would Charlene know how to hack our time radio?
I don't know, but somebody did. You entered the correct date, right?
Yeah.
But we were transported 305 minus 280 BCE equals 25 years further into the past. We should be happy we're even in Rhodes and not somewhere else.
But if we can't trust the time radio, how will we get back to Oshkosh?
Seize those two!
Uh-oh. Okay, now that we've been captured, let's recap. We're supposed to be investigating the Colossus of Rhodes in 280 BCE.
But the time radio sent us back to 305 BCE, in the middle of the Siege of Rhodes. Talk about right place, wrong time.
And who exactly captured us?
Considering we're headed away from the city, I'd guess Demetrius.
And who's he?
A Macedonian nobleman fighting over Alexander the Great's empire. He wants Rhodes to end its cozy relationships with Ptolemy the First, a rival Macedonian nobleman.
And what was that giant tower on wheels we saw?
An infamous siege tower built by Demetrius. It was 9 stories high and around 70 feet wide, fortified with iron and packed with soldiers and catapults. The idea was to roll it up to the city, break down the walls of catapults, then release the soldiers to fight.
But it fails, right? The Rhodians defeat the siege?
Correct. And after defeating Demetrius, they melt down the iron from the siege tower to build the Colossus of Rhodes.
Demetrius defeated? Are you two oracles or something?
More like time-traveling problem solvers.
Max!
Time-traveling problem solvers? The Rhodians cannot defeat our impenetrable siege tower. In fact, no one has ever seen anything like it.
Except us.
Max!
Relax, Maul. I think I know how to get us out of here. Say, Mr. Guard.
What?
We request to speak with Demetrius.
Prisoners don't get to speak with Demetrius, the King of Asia.
Even if they're oracles?
I thought you said you weren't oracles.
I lied. We are, and I can prove it.
How can we do that?
Easy. We know the exact specifications used to build the siege tower.
How could you know that? They're secret.
Wouldn't Demetrius like to know?
Fine. I'll bring you to the mole.
The what?
The mole. It's a stone pier Demetrius is building in the harbor. It's called a mole.
This mission keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Quickly, get the stones down. We will capture the harbor.
What if I said you're wasting your time? You'll never capture the harbor.
Who are these insolent prisoners who dare speak to Demetrius, King of Asia?
They claim to be oracles, sir. They say your siege of Rhodes will fail, and that they know the exact measurements of the rolling siege tower.
I see. Okay, would-be oracles. Tell me, what is the tower's volume?
The tower's volume? No problemo.
What?
No problem. Just give us a sec to work on our oracle magic. AKA math. Molly, this is where you come in.
Okay. From the looks of it, the tower was a trapezoidal prism.
Yes! What?
A 3D trapezoid. Sort of like a rectangle with one long base and one short base. The formula for its volume is V equals half times A plus B times H times L.
That's a lot.
I'll break it down for you. A equals the short base on the top. B equals the long base or bottom. H equals height and L equals length. Those are the measurements we supposedly know. You do know them, right?
Well, the record wasn't totally clear.
Max, I can't do the math without the correct measurements.
What's known is the long base was around 65 feet. It was square at the bottom.
Which means the length will also be 65 feet.
It was 130 feet high. And the short base was 45 feet?
You don't sound sure about that one.
It's a 2,300-year-old tower that was melted down into a statue. It's hard to be sure.
Okay. We can at least be clear on the math. The first part of the equation is V equals 1/2 times A plus B, or 1/2 times the short base plus the long base.
45 feet plus 65 feet equals 110.
Times 1/2 or divided by 2 equals 55. Then we take 55 and multiply it by the height and the length.
55 times 130 times 65. Calculator to the rescue.
I don't have it.
What?
It's not in my pocket. It must have fallen out when we were running away from flying boulders.
Okay. What do we do?
The math. Step by step. First, let's multiply 55 by 65.
Let's. And by that, I mean you.
55 times 65 is the same as 50 times 60 plus 50 times 5 plus 60 times 5, plus 5 times 5.
Okay, that doesn't sound as hard. I know 50 times 60 equals 3,000.
And 50 times 5 equals 250, 60 times 5 equals 300, and 5 times 5 equals 25.
3,000 plus 250 equals 3,250, plus 300 equals 3,550, plus 25 equals 3,575.
Nice. Now we just have to multiply 3,575 by 130.
Oof.
Hang on. The 0 and 130 will come in handy. First, let's take it away, do the multiplication, then we'll add it back at the end.
3,575 times 13 is still pretty hard, Maul.
Not if you break it down. What's 10 times 3,575?
Well, when you multiply anything by 10, you just move the decimal one place to the right, which is the same as adding a 0. So, 35,750.
Next, we need to multiply 3,575 times 3 and add it to 35,750.
3 times 3,000 equals 9,000.
And 3 times 575 equals 1,725. Plus 9,000 equals 10,725. Then, add 10,725 to 35,750 to get, carry the 1. 46,475.
But don't forget to add back the 0 we took from 130. That gives us 464,750 cubed feet.
Perfect.
Yeah, I just hope I got the measurements right.
Ha! You say 464,750 cubed feet? Why, that's right. How did you know?
I told you. We're oracles.
Release them. But before you go, what else can you tell me? Is it true I'll be defeated in the siege?
For that, we need to consult our future telling machine.
Our what?
Let's just hope this works. Here goes nothing. Phew. We're back. Hopefully that was just a random glitch.
Either that, or there's a mole closer to us than we think. This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Dan Gold and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Rain Morris, Jonathan Regeer, and Adam Tex Davis. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert and is an Atomic Audio production.
You're listening to ICANN. Oregon Coast Aquarium is a journey from seafloor to shore, and we're offering a wave of new experiences. This summer, you can hone your climbing skills in their new nature play area. Then head over to their outdoor amphitheater to meet a cast of animal ambassadors, or view their headwaters feature to follow a raindrop's voyage from the mountains to the sea. You can plan your next adventure at aquarium.org.